Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 40, The Prayers of Akura, Text Number 4. There's always something quirky going on with the shloka. Four. Yeah. Well, you won't find 1111 because there isn't one. Tam yogino yajantya dha Mahapurusham Ishwaram Sadyatmam Sadibhutam Cha Sadidaivam Cha Sadavaha Tam yogino yajantyadha Mahapurusham Ishwaram Sadyatmam Sadibhutam Cha Sadidaivam Cha Sadavaha Yogis Yajanti perform sacrifice Adha certainly Mahapurusham for the Supreme Personality Ishwaram, the Godhead, Sa-adhyatmam, the witness of the living entities, Sa-adhibhutam, of the material elements, Cha, and Sa-adhidaivam, of the controlling demigods, and Sadavaha, purified persons, pure yogis worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by conceiving of you in the threefold form comprising the living entities, the material elements that constitute the living entities' bodies, and the controlling deities of those elements. Text number 5. Traya cha vidvaya ke chitvam vai vaitanika dvijaha yajante vitatvair jagyai nana rupa marakyaya. Brahmanas, who follow the regulations concerning the three sacred fires, worship you by chanting mantras from the three Vedas and performing elaborate fire sacrifices for the various demigods who have many forms and names. Whip in the paraphernalia and grab a couple of tissues for me, please. Brahmanas who follow the regulations concerning the three sacred fires worship you by chanting mantras from the three Vedas and performing elaborate fire sacrifices for the various demigods who have many forms and names. Purport. Akura has now described how those who follow the paths of Sankhya Yoga and the three Vedas worship the Supreme Lord in different ways. Two verses. The fourth verse and the fifth verse describe two different types of worship. In the various places where the Vedas appear to recommend that one worship Indra, Varuna and other demigods, these demigods are stated to be supreme. But at the same time, the Vedas state that there is one supreme controller, the absolute truth. That is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who expands his potency through material creation into the forms of the demigods. Thus, worship of the demigods goes to him through the indirect method of karmakanda, or fruitive religious rituals. Ultimately, however, one who wants to achieve eternal perfection should worship the Lord directly in full Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanatimirandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Grinim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So here we have a description of the, first of all, Akura is offering prayers to Krishna. Actually, he's offering prayers to Mahavishnu. Right? Because that's who he's seeing. At this, he saw, first of all, Krishna and Balaram, but then he saw Lord Mahavishnu. Then he started offering prayers. So, text 4 describes the yogis, which includes personalities like Brahma and Shiva and the other great demigods. They worship the Lord with sacrifice. Yajanti is interesting. In both of these verses, yajanti, jagya, is described. The word is mentioned. Yajanti. They worship you by performing of sacrifices. And who are they worshipping? Mahapurusham, the Mahapurush. Ishvaram, the Supreme Controller. And in which forms are they worshipping him? Sadhyatmam, Sadhibhutam, Sadhidaivam. So this is the witness of. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this is a reference to the super soul. Because the super soul is usually the personality that the yogis are approaching. And he's the witness. He's the witness of all of these things. The adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. In other words, the living entities, the material elements that provide the living entities with their bodies, and then the controlling demigods, the devas that orchestrate everything within the whole creation, ultimately for Krishna. And of course, Krishna is the overseer, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, upadrashta anumanta cha, bhata bhakta maheshvaraha. He describes himself. Upadrashta. He's the overseer. He oversees everything. Upadrashta Anumanta. He's the permitter. Good falls of rain at the farm. Good news from the farmers. Let's turn this off. We ring up Jason every second day. Is it raining? Actually, it's interesting, you know, it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that without sacrifice, then you don't get rains, you see. So we're so, and we're so dependent upon rain. As we, you know, at the moment, it is said that even there are predictions now that there will be wars fought over water. And you can see it, you know, the politicians are now reacting. Oh yes, we're concerned about the environment. A year ago they couldn't care less. It's interesting, you know, when I was a kid, which is, you know, at high school, which is 30 years ago, 35 years ago, we were always being told, conserve water, conserve power, you know, conserve this, that and the other thing. But what have we done in the last 30 years? Drink, guzzle water like it was going out of style, burn up oil and fuel as if there was no tomorrow. Right? The warnings were already there 30 years ago. 30, 35 years ago, 40 years ago, the warnings were already there. But people just blithely, you know, act in ignorance until it runs out. You know, they're even predicting last week, yes, in April next year we could run out of water. Then what would you do? If we, you know, we're so conditioned just to going to the tap and turning it on and having a drink of water. What if you went to the tap, turn it on, and nothing came out? What would you do? Amazing. This is why the Vedas recommend sacrifice. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, by the performance of sacrifice, then the demigods are pleased. When the demigods are pleased, then they'll provide all facilities for everybody. And so then all of the living entities who are dependent, it's like here, it mentions the adiatmic, adibhautic, adidaivic. The controllers of the material creation are working ultimately under Krishna's direction. Right? But they're the ones who are orchestrating, they're the ones who are facilitating and providing the, you know, the, they're sort of like the utility department in the government. They provide the electricity, they provide the water, they provide the gas, so that things can go on. So for the material affairs, the demigods are orchestrating all of these things. Ultimately, under the, as it is mentioned here, the yogis are meditating on these threefold forms of the Lord, because they're all expansions of the Lord's energy, but ultimately under the direction of the Mahapurusha and the Ishvara. That's the super soul. Huh? These facilities are all working under the auspices, or these personalities, if you like, they're all, or all of us, are working under the auspices of the Mahapurusha. That's Krishna, Upadrashta, the overseer, Anumanta, as the super soul. The overseer, the permitter, the bhokta, the enjoyer, Bharata, the master, Maheshwaraha, the supreme controller, the Mahapurusha, here, Mahapurusham, and Ishvaram, the supreme controller. So, Akura is describing how different personalities approach the Lord through sacrifice. And, you know, the yogis drill the breathing. Well, first of all, before they drill the breathing, you know, they find a sacred place and they sit down and not too high, not too low. A sanctified location which is peaceful. Then they follow the rules and regulations, perform the asanas. Then after performing the asanas, then they can start drilling the breathing. Then after drilling the breathing, one starts to then get some measure of mind control. The breathing and the mental condition are linked. Then they can start withdrawing the senses from the objects of the senses by controlling them through mental control. The mind is actually control. The mind is the sense within, if you like, and it is actually the king of the senses. In one sense, it can control the senses. That's what a yogi does: withdraws the senses, then turns the mind within to meditate, to ultimately achieve the darshan, if you like, of the super soul, who's situated within the heart of everybody. What is it? The Ishvaraha Savabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati Ramayan Savabhutanam Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. So they look within to seek out the super soul, the source of everything, the controller of everything, who's about the size of your thumb, sitting within your heart. I heard one of the devotees was asking Prabhupada yesterday, saying, Prabhupada, does the super soul sit within everybody's heart and he's about the size of your thumb? And Prabhupada said, yes. Yes. But interesting, it's a nice exchange. And one of the devotees says, Prabhupada, you said that everybody in the material world is in Maya. And she said, you're in the material world, but you can't be in Maya. You're a pure devotee. And Prabhupada said, he said yes. Nice exchange. And then Prabhupada chuckled. You could hear him softly chuckling. And he said, you see like that. He said, you see like that. So the super soul is, of course, not many people understand it, that this is actually the purpose of yoga. The purpose of yoga is to seek out the personality of Godhead. You know, in the modern yoga schools, it's health and well-being and peace and serenity. It's not actually seeking out anything really than just selfish things. But the real purpose of the yoga system is to seek out the controller, the Supreme Personality, which is Krishna. So in the next verse then, Akura says, So the yogis, they worship, perform sacrifices to realize the Supreme Controller. That's the Maha-Ishvara, the Supreme Controller in the form of the Super Soul. Then the Brahmanas, Traya Cha Vidyaya Ke Chit, Tvam Vai Vaita Nika Dvijaha. Dvijaha means the Brahmanas. Yajante, they worship Vidyataya Jagyai with elaborate sacrifices. And this refers to the Karmakanda sacrifices, which are generally performed to appease the demigods. They perform to worship the demigods. As it mentions here. And performing elaborate fire sacrifices for the various demigods who have many forms and many names. So this is a reference to those who worship the Lord through the Karmakanda ritualistic ceremonies and how they conceive of the Lord. Well, it was mentioned here that in each of the Vedas that describe the Jagyas for the worship of the different demigods, each of the different demigods is described as being the Supreme Person. But as it's pointed out here, and as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually, there is only one supreme person. This is what Akura is saying. There is only one supreme person. So even though they worship all of the different demigods as the supreme person, actually, they're referring to you. They just see things differently. And in fact, it's interesting because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, I make their faith strong in a particular demigod. So by worshipping that demigod, quickly they get what they want. Right? But as it's pointed out in Surrender Unto Me, Burjan Prabhu makes the point that the worshippers of the demigods through the Karmakanda system are indirectly worshipping Krishna, and by following that process they actually become purified. You know, normally we would say, you know, if you want to become purified, then you worship Krishna without any material desires. Right? Anya bilasita sunyam jnana kamajana vritam. This is the real qualification of purification for us. Purity means to render service to Krishna without personal consideration. No need to worry. Krishna's feeding the elephant. Krishna's feeding the ant. Right? So he'll definitely look after his devotees. Huh? Krishna will look after his devotees. He's not a mean master. He likes his devotees. Yeah. So therefore, there's no, you know, and the devotees like to serve Krishna. It's interesting, you know, when the devotees are offering their prayers to Krishna, please engage me in your service. When Krishna offers the devotees something, then they say, no, I don't need anything. If I need anything, just let me be your servant. Right? That's the mood of the devotees. And so therefore, we might look down on, well, who are these personalities, you know, worshipping the demigods. And generally the Karmakanda system is designed, you know, worship this demigod for good health, worship this one for money, worship this one for longevity of life, you know, for elevation to the heavenly planets where you can enjoy. So there's somewhat of a selfish nature, selfish consideration there. But still, Krishna recommends, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. Let them keep worshipping the demigods, because by worshipping the demigods, gradually they become purified. Right? So there's a benefit there. Of course, we can always tell, and, well, quite frankly, you don't find worshippers of the demigods these days. You know, people are worshipping the holy dollar. Right? People are worshipping their work or their boss or the politicians or the rock stars or what. In this day and age, you don't find people who are worshipping the demigods. But still, the worship of the demigods, the Karmakanda system, is bona fide. It's part of the Vedic process. Vidais cha savayaraham eva vidjo. The whole purpose of following the Vedic injunctions is to vidanta krid veda vid eva chaham, to eventually come to know Krishna. So there's a benefit from doing it. So that's why it's described here. Although ordinarily we don't recommend people worship for material motivation. To make advancement in spiritual life, we don't recommend that. But for those who don't worship anybody, who are just chasing money or their job, or what job means money, influence, power in the material world, we certainly recommend, yes, come and worship Krishna. If you want to improve your material position, come and worship Krishna. Right? Worship the demigods. Because it's better than just animal existence, which is what basically we have. You know, as Prabhupada points out, you know, what have we got? We've got big skyscrapers. We've got aeroplanes that fly in the sky. Motor cars that travel very fast. But what kind of people have we got? This is dull-headed people. Just dull-headed, unintelligent people. They think the measure of intelligence is, you know, how big you can build a building. We have a, you know, in Melbourne we have the highest residential building in the world. Jai. Wonderful. That's not education though, really. That's not knowledge to be able to build a big building. You know, to pile things on top of each other so that they stand very high in the sky. That's not considered a great achievement. And yet when you try to talk to people about the, you know, spiritual achievement and spiritual advancement, and they can't understand. They can't appreciate that they're not the body, that they're spiritual by nature. That just is too subtle for them to understand. So therefore, you know, we encourage people. Just as people are encouraged by the Vedas to worship the demigods, so we may also encourage people, come and worship Krishna, even if it's for some material benefit. Come on, come on. That's why sometimes we do pujas and so forth. Actually, for the Vaishnavas, different pujas and samskaras and so forth are not ultimately necessary. Not necessary. Actually, there is only one jagya that's required. Right? There's only one jagya that's required. And that's the Sankirtan jagya. In this day and age, there's only one jagya that actually works. None of the other jagyas actually work. You know, because they're not being followed properly and because they're not being practiced correctly, then people have lost faith in the performance of jagya. And so as a consequence, then the jagyas are not effective. Actually, one of the devotees suggested, why don't we go out into the country towns and have jagyas? We say, the Hare Krishnas are coming to your town, we're going to perform a jagya and we'll bring rain. And we'll get Krishnagraja and Jitendriya to get their puja paraphernalia together, and we'll go to the town square of Ballarat and Bendigo and do Agnihotra jagya. I said to him, the only problem with that is what happens if it doesn't rain? They might think, oh, what's the good of, you know, because people are very cynical. What's the good of your jagya? Didn't rain. His point was, well, at least people will see that the Hare Krishnas are concerned about the welfare of everybody. Listen, guys, you should sit down. If you're going to come to class, you should sit down and be quiet. Not playing. This is just the product of a too active mind. Which is good also, but it's got to be engaged. Is that alright? You have to sit down and listen. See, Sudarshan is sitting very nicely. Very good boy. Which is quite unusual. Sitting very nicely. Very good boy. So jagya is essential for the well-being of society. But in this day and age, you know, really, the only effective jagya is to chant Hare Krishna. Even if it's for something material, the devotees don't mind. So therefore, sometimes we'll do pujas and samskaras, and that will benefit people. Why? Because then they come into the association of the devotees, they get to hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, they get to take prasadam, munjutete tvakam papam. Right. So then they're eating purified foodstuffs. They get the association of the devotees. So therefore they become purified by that association. So in one sense, going and performing jagyas to create rain is not a bad thing, because then people hear, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They'll start doing some jagya, Sankirtan jagya. Because we become a little blasé about the Sankirtan jagya because, you know, familiarity can breed contempt, actually. Me, I'm cynical. Oh, Sangatan Jug, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We heard it before. But actually, it's a fact. It's extremely powerful. Prabhupada wanted to solve all of the problems of material existence. That's why he wanted, basically he wanted to take everybody back home to the spiritual world. Then you don't have to worry about birth, death, old age and disease. These things don't exist. So Prabhupada saw the Krishna consciousness movement as being the panacea for all of the ills of modern society. And his looking in that video the other day, it's interesting. You know, Prabhupada said, actually, it was very interesting. Prabhupada didn't take credit for what was happening. I don't know if you noticed that. Prabhupada said, I haven't done anything. It's the boys who are doing things. Interesting that Prabhupada didn't take any credit for himself personally. Although obviously Prabhupada was the inspiration, as the lady who was doing the camera work and the sound recording, she worked it out. Actually, everything was coming from the back room. Right? Prabhupada had the potency, he had the shakti. But he gave the credit to everybody else. But it was interesting, Prabhupada said, I am here to pursue or fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Right? And Lord Chaitanya's process is focused very much, it revolves around the chanting of Hare Krishna properly. That's the real jagya. The worship of the deities, even the book distribution, the distribution of prasadam, all of these activities are supportive of the main jagya, the main act, if you like, which is chanting Hare Krishna. This is really the main thing that we do for self-preservation and for preservation of the community. Then the chanting of Hare Krishna has to be the prime ingredient. Right? It's the prime ingredient. And it makes all of our other activities successful. And all of the other activities are meant ultimately to support the chanting of Hare Krishna. Which is the Bhagavat Vidhi. Gangeshwar Prabhu was mentioning the other day. We still follow the temple worship. Right? Because the temple worship actually creates a peaceful and regulated, pure environment where we can sit down and chant Hare Krishna peacefully. That's what it's for, interestingly enough. That's what it's for. We study the Bhagavatam and we study the Bhagavad Gita so that our minds will be absorbed in the proper mood and mentality of service, right? This is really our whole existence is to be a servant. That's what, we've got to give up this whole idea of us ourselves being the Ishwaras and the controllers and the enjoyers. And we need to refocus our attention and consciousness back to being a servant. What is it? Jivera Svarupa Hoy, the eternal position or the inherent nature of the living entity, that's us, is to be a servant. Jivera Svarupa Hoy, Nitya. Krishnera Nitya Das. Yeah, we are always a servant of Krishna. So, we study the books and hear the philosophy so that we can be reminded that, yes, I'm a servant. It's a harsh reality, because we think we're the controllers sometimes, but then things go terribly out of control. And you know, we're forced to realise, oh, I'm not in control. I'm the boss. My realisation is, you know, actually Krishna's in control. If we learn to act as the servants of the devotees, even if we are in a position of responsibility, you know, even as a parent, we're a servant of the children. Even even the devotees are considered to be the topmost, and everybody should be serving them. But what's their mood? Their mood is still to be the servant. Even, you know, it's interesting because Gangaswara mentioned this point the other day. Prabhupada was asked, you know, he was describing how there's the first class man, the second class man, the third class man, the fourth class man. And then the interviewer asked Prabhupada, well, what are you? He said, I am fifth class man. I am the servant of all of the other, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, the sudras. This is talking about the first, second, third and fourth class. I said, well, what are you? I'm the fifth class man. I'm the servant of all of the others. So we're all servants, actually. And the, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in the temple worship, we all have to serve the deity, for example. So it reinforces and establishes this consciousness, yes, that I'm a servant of Krishna. Even when we're going out on our book distribution, or we're going out doing our prasadam distribution, or we're doing some program, we still do it in the context of, yes, I'm doing it as a servant of the deity. And all of these activities ultimately help us to chant Hare Krishna properly. Helps to engender that right mood of supplication, if you like. Application, supplication. Krishna, I am yours. Please engage me in your service. You know, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should be seeing Krishna. Right? Ideally. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, ultimately we should come to the point when we're seeing Krishna, or we're experiencing Krishna's presence. Krishna's nam namakari bahudaha. He's not nija sharva shaktis. All his shaktis are present within his name. So this is for us. Because the devotees mentioned here, ultimately, however, you know, there's a main point in a purport. And it'll be stated something like that. Ultimately, however, or in conclusion, or the main point is, Prabhupada would say, one who wants to achieve eternal perfection should worship the Lord directly in full Krishna consciousness. And that's our main, you know, our main method of connecting with Krishna is through chanting Hare Krishna, whether individually or collectively. Like I was saying the other day, everybody loves Govardhan Puja. I don't know many devotees. I don't know devotees who don't like the festival of Govardhan Puja. Or Snan Yatra is another one. And the main reason that I can figure out is because, you know, we have a kirtan for 2.5 hours. And usually loud, you know, intense meditation. Right? But at the end of it, everybody is smiling and happy, enlivened. In fact, oftentimes they don't want to stop. Huh? It's like one of the devotees was mentioning, you know, how should we chant Hare Krishna? Asking Prabhupada, how should we chant Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, you should chant so that you never stop. Never feel like stopping. Huh? Yeah, never get tired. You should chant in such a way you never get tired. Well, my arm felt like it was going to fall off. I hurt myself pruning the trees. So. But that's what, you know, and even individually when we're chanting our japa, then when we've been attentive and focused on our chanting, then we feel enthused. Right? Usually, we should feel enthused. Susukam kartam avyayam. So, as is mentioned here, you know, there's the worship of the demigods, there's the worship of the yogis, not that we worship the yogis, but there's the worship of the yogis of the super soul. There's the worship of the karmakanda. But for us, you know, we achieve the same goal. Actually, we can achieve a higher goal. We can achieve the ultimate goal through the Sankirtan Jagya, through the chanting of Hare Krishna. Collectively, it's meant to be done collectively. And you can see that, you know, where there's a community of devotees that like to come together and chant Hare Krishna, then there's, you know, there's good dealings and good relationships amongst the devotees. Because it's the life. What is it? Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipatam punam ritas vardhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam vidya vadu jivanam. It's the life of transcendental knowledge. Vidya vadu jivanam. The chanting of Hare Krishna is our life. It enthuses us. So, our method of realizing Krishna is through the Sankirtan Jagya, through the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's how we realize Krishna. And you know, you see it when the devotees chant enthusiastically, then they're dancing enthusiastically, they're smiling, and because it's funny, there's always a couple of devotees in the crowd who are on the mental platform, still haven't quite got off of the mental platform onto the spiritual platform, so they're sort of walking around, you know, looking puzzled. You probably know the feeling well. We all, it attacks us every. The mental platform attacks us. But if we throw ourselves into our japa and into our kirtan, then we transcend all of those things. It's amazing, actually. You know, we don't have to perform big sacrifices. We don't have to perform big austerities. Be big yogis. We may be yogis to preach, but that's not our perfection. Our perfection is to sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Simply put. That's our brahminical activity, actually, if you like. The brahmanas worship by following the ritualistic ceremonies. Our worship is very simple. We just need to get up early in the morning, take a bath, put our clothes on, put our tilak on. A little bit of paraphernalia, not very much, really. And even actually, the chanting of Hare Krishna is so potent that you don't even need those things. It actually doesn't need any of those things. It's so potent. But as I mentioned previously, you know, we have the Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Bhagavat Vidhi. The chanting of Hare Krishna is actually part of the Bhagavat Vidhi. But in order to keep the lives of the devotees in a regulated, standard fashion, then we follow these other things as supportive. So rising early, putting on the tilak, putting on fresh clothes and so forth, coming for Mangalarti, worshipping the deities. These activities are part of the Pancharatrika system, but they support the effective practice of the Bhagavat Vidhi. So therefore they're very important, as Prabhupada says, like two railway tracks are required to keep the train on track. So similarly, we require the regulation of the Pancharatrika system, initiations and so forth, all of these things, in order to keep us regulated, pure-hearted, clean, nourished also, in order to effectively chant Hare Krishna. There's our jagya. And then we can then realize our position, realize our relationship with Krishna. Nitya Krishna Das. Whatever it may be, whoever we may be in the spiritual world, ultimately we're a servant. That's the main thing. Interesting that Prabhupada didn't put a lot of emphasis on knowing who you were in the spiritual world. Just know that you're a servant. And it's interesting, Prabhupada, what was Prabhupada's mood? I'm a servant of my guru. That's who I am. That's, if we really want to know who you are, that's the first thing you understand. Put that into place, then all of the other bits and pieces will be revealed in due course of time. That's our system. So, Akura is describing the different yogis and the yogis and the brahmanas, their means of sacrifice by which they are worshipping the Supreme. And the sacrifice that we're performing is the Sankirtan Jagya by which we can realize the Supreme Personality. Radha Balabha. Gaunitaya, Lord Jagannath Balaram, Subhadra, Srila Prabhupada also. For the devotees within ISKCON, Prabhupada is the Supreme Personality. The Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, who reveals the Supreme Personality of Enjoyer, if you like, or Served Godhead. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji.
I have one comment and one question.
Yeah.
The comment is that what you are saying, that Prabhupada said that we all are in the spiritual world, we are following four levels of Krishna.
Yeah.
And we are doing journey of devotional service.
Yes.
Yeah. We are in the spiritual world because even when we go to the spiritual world, we will be doing the same service to God.
Yes.
In the spiritual world.
Yes. Actually, you know what? In a spiritual world, there's no need to preach. So actually, the fun of preaching you can only get in the material world. Everybody's a devotee there. Okay, yeah, go on.
Now the question was, if you do the worship of the demigods,
yeah,
the results are so slow.
The results are slow, are they?
Progress.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So better just to chant Hare Krishna and get a fast track. I agree. But you know, here's the thing. The chanting of Hare Krishna appears also to be going slowly. Right? But actually, in the scheme of things, it's going very quickly. We're actually making...
But if you do demigod worship, it becomes slow.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We don't need to worship the demigods. We're respectful of the demigods. And we can worship them on occasion, just like Nanda Maharaj worshipped Lord Shiva, for example, on occasion. And, you know, that... But ultimately, it was to please Krishna. So the main, you know, we can respect the demigods and so forth, but that's not our main focus. What are the three sacred fires? The three sacred fires are described in the Rig Veda. You'll have to read the Rig Veda to find out the details. But that's what's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the different fire sacrifices. Sorry?
Do you want to elaborate part of that?
Well, I don't know what they are, so I can't. We don't have to worry too much about, you know, which fire is what, because we offer everything into the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's our fire of our sacrificial fire is the chanting of Hare Krishna. We offer everything into that. All I know is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that it's just these sacrifices are described within the Rig Veda. So if you really want to find out what they are, then you have to go and have a look at the Rig Veda. Strictly following, like. Okay, yes. I haven't been there. We should just stride in. You're all a bunch of nonsense. You're all in the mode of ignorance. Don't worship the demigods. You're in Maya. That should fix them. Now it's interesting. Also, in My Glorious Master, Bhujan Prabhu tells a story about how in Hong Kong, he was associating with members of the Indian community, how they were worshipping the demigods, and of course Prabhupada then said, and you discourage them, you know. In an admonishing kind of a way, and then he pointed out that yes, but they worship the demigods as supreme, right? And then Prabhupada said, oh, not, you know, that's not good. So see, you know, it's if a person is super attached to worshiping the demigods and worshiping them. Even as if Krishna, as if they're the supreme, they're super attached to that. It's better to let them do that rather than to disturb them. You know, what's the ninth offence in chanting Hare Krishna? Yes, to preach to the faithless persons. So there's no point in preaching to somebody whose faith is strong in a demigod and who will only be disturbed if we try to take them away to another, right? Even though we may know that that's a lower level, for that particular person that's appropriate until they become purified, and then they're able to recognize that actually the, because why is worship of the demigods considered to be at a lower level? That's right. But they have to come to that realization themselves. Or we need to lead them to that realization carefully. Right? Otherwise they'll just become disturbed. So therefore, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but rather encourage them in acts of devotion. Right? So it requires some skill on the part of the devotee to ascertain what level of realization is this person actually situated? Can I help them? And you know, even Prabhupada makes references to the mentality of the South Indian Brahmanas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, you can't tell them. You know, there's the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and the Tattvavadis. Is it the Tattvavadis or the... No, there's a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Venkatapata. And then Lord Chaitanya asks him, you know, why does Lakshmi want to perform austerities so that she can enter into the rasa dance? Right? In that commentary, then Prabhupada talks about, you know, how the South Indians have a particular view of, the South Indian Brahmins have a particular view on things. And even in those days it was known as being very rigid. Right? And they consider themselves somewhat superior to everybody else. So, you know, when somebody thinks that they're already superior to everybody else, what chance have you got of actually taking them to a higher level? Because somebody who's already at the highest level doesn't need instruction. Right? Just like a materialistic person. There are so many materialistic people. And we know, oh, this man is just in complete mire. Let me help him. But he thinks he's on the supermost platform, right? Why do I need to listen to your, you know, Indian religion? Everybody knows that India is the most backward country in the world. And we're living in the most advanced country. Just see our 110-story building. There's a proof. Right? We've been able to pile things on top of each other higher than anybody else. So therefore we're the most advanced. Huh? We've flown people to the moon and come back with rocks and dust. Just see how advanced we are. As if we don't have enough rocks and dust here already. For example, you know, this is the kind of thing that Prabhupada would say. So, you know what, we can't go to the man in Albert Park next door and say, you know, you're in ignorance and we're in knowledge. Kindly listen to me. Or go to the South Indian Brahmanas and say, you know, we are the authorised disciplic succession in Kali Yuga and you should listen to us. They'll have an argument with you. Say, what's your parampara? You know, you don't even have a this or a that or the other. What's your disciplic succession? Blah, 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 blah. You're not authorised. So what do you reckon? Take on the whole of South India.
So, in that situation, when what I do, Prabhupada,
yeah.
I think if they are very strong,
yeah.
If they say that I start praying to the Lord, to give them some distance from the day.
Yeah. You know what I reckon you should do? Cook up a great feast. And give them prasadam. You know, if you can't win a philosophical argument with somebody, just don't bother. It's not worth it. Just feed them with prasadam. And get them to chant Hare Krishna. They'll realise in due course of time. Right? Give them prasadam. Get them to chant Hare Krishna. You know, when I first started doing congregational preaching, we were preaching to a lot of South Indians, some of whom, or most of whom, became our leading congregational preachers. Right? And it was a year and a half, and we were just having kirtan after kirtan and prasadam after prasadam, and I was giving class, and I used to think, we're not getting anywhere with these guys. How long does it take? Right? We just kept going and kept going. And what we used to do is just have long kirtans. Just have long kirtans. So the kirtan would go for an hour, hour and a half. Huh? And then some philosophy, because, you know, by the time they've got... And then because everybody gets into the kirtan, when everybody gets into the kirtan, then, you know, they just get off the mental platform. Then you can give them some information. Then top it off with great prasadam. Can't beat that formula. That's Prabhupada's formula. Kirtan, little bit of philosophy, then lots of prasadam. Then everybody's satisfied. They say, wow, that's great. So after a year and a half of doing that every week, everybody says, yeah. Actually, then what happened was, you know, because every week I must have been saying, you know, chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, surrender to Krishna. So eventually they start remembering, oh, yes. Chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Huh? And so eventually those devotees start. And then I noticed, one by one, each one of them started to chant 16 rounds. They'd give up their smoking, or they'd give up their meat eating, or what. This is even the Indian community, right? The big problems would be, oh, Prabhu, I'm having a lot of trouble giving up cigarettes. You know. This is the big, you know, these are the same problems that everybody has, basically. Right? So, yeah. It's interesting, you know, it's not so much that we can defeat people philosophically, because we can defeat people philosophically, but they don't have the brain substance nor the ears to hear it. And they don't realise that they've been defeated, right? So therefore, it's a battle to win a person's heart, really, so that they can then understand the philosophy. And even, you know, we understand the philosophy and we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're taking prasadam, still we're confused. So we've just got to keep at it. Right. Anything else?
About the Kirtan also.
Kirtan, yeah.
In one lecture, Jatarasana was saying in Russia,
yeah,
they do so much Kirtan, people would say Kirtan, Kirtan, Kirtan.
Yeah.
Like even the amplifier got broken, warmed up,
and exploded. Yeah, there you go. Transcendental. All right, we should a couple of announcements, because I'm going to India tomorrow for 4 weeks, effectively. And Sabha Mangala is going this afternoon too. So it's a couple of things. Vishal is doing the petty cash, so if anybody needs any petty cash, pass the word on Vishal. But he's also likes to go and do a bit of book distribution, so hours may be limited. Right? So don't be surprised if you go to the treasury to get some money and he's not there. Actually, this is a good way of running the treasury, actually, and petty cash. You find that people don't spend money if they can't get it. The treasury door is for taking money in but not giving money out, which is how the treasurer generally likes it. But also, I guess for service and other related issues, devotees should speak to Krishnagaja for the deity worship and Gopal Guru, who will be back next weekend. He's gone to New Zealand for a week, but they're basically in charge of the rosters. But my suggestion is, if you've got a problem, first of all, try to solve it yourself. Don't immediately throw it at me. Well, you can't throw it at me in a chinchuru because we won't be here. But don't ignore it. This is what often happens is I notice people just ignore things. Oh, not there, doesn't exist. Try and solve the problem yourself. You'd be surprised how Krishna helps those who help themselves. And I guess for this week, especially if anybody has any really serious problems, then have a chat with Chiranjeev. He's actually the senior devotee amongst all of the devotees here, and also a lot of experience. So if anybody has any problems, if things are really bad, then you can always call me on my mobile.